Okay, it's great to see everybody. I generally start with a story or a joke just to create a certain mood. I'm a little bit fearful to do so under the topic because I don't want to lead anybody or have anybody misunderstand what exactly is going to happen. Because of my own struggles on this topic, so. I take it seriously, and I'm afraid we only have a half hour. I'm afraid if I get caught up in the story, or get caught up in the joke, the mood will not be the mood that I hope to set. Our topic, of course, tonight is Shmiras Einayim. I hope that many of you are just here just to see somebody else struggle, and not because this is a battle that you need to fight on your own. And we'll approach three different aspects of it, and then if there's time, so we'll open the floor if anybody has any questions. The Gemara writes a very famous story. I'm sure that you've all heard this before. The Gemara writes that once upon a time, Chazal decided, the Ashkenazi years ago decided that Yetzirah was too great. So they decided they wanted to catch the Yetzirah. The biggest Yetzirah of the time, which we don't have anymore, because of the story, the biggest Yetzirah of the time, the Gemara in Yuma writes, Samach Testament Beis, the biggest Yetzirah of the time was Avodah Zarah. So the rabbis got together and they said, especially in this time of Korban, they said, if we don't put an end to this Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And by the way, when we talk about Yetzirah, so you need to understand, there is no entity that's outside of us, that's external to us, called Yetzirah. We don't believe that there's a little devil sitting on our shoulder, kind of like, I don't know if they had these cartoons still when you guys were growing up, but at least when I was growing up, so there was a blue devil, and there was a red devil, blue angel, and a red devil, and you know they're both whispering in the ear, and depending on you know which cartoon and what exactly was happening, that's the one that we ended up, that's the one we ended up listening to. That's not really what's happening. There's no little devil on our shoulder that's whispering in our ear. It's really, the Yetzer is really just us. It's really just a manifestation or a characterization of what we call our urges to do things that are opposite of Ratzon Hashem. So at that time they wanted to catch the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah. So they did this whole seance kind of thing. You can read the Gemara over there. They summoned the Yetzirah, and sure enough, out of the Beis Hamikdash popped something. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it looked like a dog or something, and a puppy. And they nailed him inside like this, inside a container, and they sealed it with lead, because of course everybody knows the Yetzirah can't bust out of lead ceiling. And they got him, and they crushed him, and they destroyed him. In part of when my life was really exciting, and I was traveling in the Far East, so I went to Thailand. I saw people bowing down to a golden cow, and the reaction, and I'm sure everybody would have had the same reaction. Is like, what in the world are you doing? Whatever it is that you're praying for, you think that the golden cow, you think that's the one that's going to, it's going to heal, it's going to bring money, it's going to bring rain, it's going to do whatever. Like, are you out of your mind? Like, what in the world could you possibly be thinking? That thought of what in the world could you possibly be thinking, that's only because of the Gemara that I just described to you, because there's no Yetzirah anymore for Avodah Zarah. I don't know if you ever read the Navi, but you read through the Navi, it's a weird thing. The stories go over and over again. Don't do Avodah Zarah. And everybody's like, oh, no, I know better. I'm going to do Avodah Zarah. And then everybody does Avodah Zarah. And then the Philistines come and they rampage through the land and they kill all the people. And then they own Israel for 40 years until some king or Navi comes and gets everybody back together and they burn all the Asherah trees and they get rid of all the Avodah Zarah and there's a whole enlightening and everybody lives happily ever after until the next wave of Avodah Zarah comes around. And it goes like in a cycle over and over again. And you read the Navi and you want to be like, are you out of your mind? First of all, why are you doing Avodah Zarah in the first place? The whole thing is stupid. And don't you get it? Don't you get that this is the system just replays itself over and over again? And that, the reason why we ask, or at least I ask a question like that, the reason why there's a question like that is only because of this Gemara. It's because we don't have the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Because the Gemara continues and says, once they nailed the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, they're like, wow, this is sick. Okay, they didn't really say that in the Gemara. I'm just trying to modernize the language of the Gemara. So like, this is crazy. This is amazing stuff. let's also, what's big sin number two that we could unshackle the Jewish people with? So Arayos. So they're like, oh, let's get the Yitzhar for Arayos. So they did like their whole summoning kind of thing again. And they grabbed, and he came out, he popped out the Yitzhar for Arayos, and they grabbed him also, they nailed him, and he was gone. There was no Yitzhar for Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara says, whoa, let's slow down for a second. Because for 3 days, not even a chicken laid an egg. Because, again, I don't know if this still works in your technology, but when technology was just starting to come out, so if I wanted to delete a file every so often on the computer, you like just try to delete the extra stuff, and then you got a little pop-up that said, by the way, if you delete this, this is linked to, you know, 5, 6, 7 other things, and if you delete this file, so you're also going to inadvertently knock out some other things that you want, you have to make a choice whether you want that or not. So same thing here, when they deleted the Yitzhara for Arayos, so Arayos, it's not arbitrary, it's not like we only have good urges to use sexual drive only when it's needed and only when it's a mitzvah. Sexual drive. It's either going to be in or it's going to be out. So when they nailed the Yitzhara for sexual drive, so it was all out. Because I'm being recorded normally here, if I wasn't being recorded, of course we're always being recorded in Shemayim, but if I wasn't being recorded by a recorder here, I would make some kind of joke about men and women and about like how girls are, you know, oh, whatever. I'm not going to make the jokes I'm being recorded. But you almost had me. But that urge was gone. So even for chickens, that urge was gone, and there were no eggs. And then the rabbis were like, "Whoa, this is crazy. The world's not going to be able to survive. We got to scale it back." So they resuscitated the Yetzirah for Arayos partially, and they kept it part. They kept it part away. This is how you explain in the Torah. There's a whole bunch of Torahs, and we read it on Yom Kippur, so you know that it's really important. This is how you explain all the laws in the Torah about familial ancestral relations. Now you read through that, like don't have relations with your mother. So again, I know this world is crazy and there's a lot of depravity. So I don't know if maybe this is getting a comeback or something. There are familial things, but. But for the most part, you know, when you hear about your mother and your sister and this aunt and the grandmother, so it's not really, you know, I don't know. I read it, you know, it's part of the mitzvah, it's part of the Torah, so we read it. But it's kind of like one of those that, like, this is never applicable to me. So why is it in the Torah in the first place? And the answer is because of this Gemara. Where was it that they scaled back the Yitzhar for Arayos? They're like, listen, the Arayos for our family members, that's really crazy. We're going to keep that one. That's going to be under the lead cap. That's going to stay sealed. We're not going to let that one out. The one for, you know, for other urges that allows people to procreate. So that we're going to keep that one. Then we're going to keep that one live. And this way the world could function. So my first point about this is that, and again, I would understand if you want to disagree with me, but I urge you to open up your hearts and to consider what I'm saying. Is that the same way, I hope, that if somebody is having an illicit relationship with one of the family members that's on that list, so it kind of would make us uneasy. And it would be like, wow, that's weird. You know, like, why are they doing that? Or the same way that when you have people bowing down to cows or to an Asherah tree or to whatever Avodah Zarah it is that we're doing. And you look at it and you're like, that's like the dumbest thing that I ever heard. So the same way that we look at that and say, wow, that's really crazy and it's dumb. The only reason why we view that as crazy and dumb is because we were already lifted from the fog of what's called the Yetzer Hara for those kinds of things. There are sins that we do, and our topic tonight is not Shomer Giyah, and it's not all these other, you know, wonderful things that I could list that I'm sure that many of us have a tough time with. The point is that what would have happened if they would have kept the Yetzirah for Shmiras, for the violations of Shmiras and Ayim? What if they would have kept that under wraps, under the sealed container? So then if somebody would be watching pornography, we would look at them and be like, wow, that's like, why would you do that? That's the strangest thing that I've ever, that's like so crazy. Don't you realize how pointless that is and how ridiculous that is? But because we're not out of that fog, because we're still under, again, what this is called, Yetzirah, so then we're not in that place of like, wow, this is so weird and this is so strange. Again, think about it. When you read the stories of the past, and you read about how they were bowing down to these crazy things that have no power whatsoever, that it's not going to give them health and it's not going to save their lives, And we're reading them and we're like, wow, that makes no sense. And we're like, that those people, they were very backwards. You know, or if somebody, you know, if somebody's having relationship with their mother in that way, you know, an Oedipus kind of thing. If he's doing that, we would look at it and be like, whoa, weird. Right? The only reason why that's weird, even though people used to do it all the time, is because that's now taken out of the category of Yetzirah. The things that we do that are in the that are in the spectrum of sin, that we do because most of the time because it's pleasure seeking, had that been taken out also of the canon of sin, so then we would look at those sins also and say that they don't make so much sense. But the fact that they're still in, you know, I'll give you a very plain example. Let's say Shabbos. So, okay, whether you're into Shabbos or whether you're not into Shabbos, what would happen is, if somebody violates Shabbos, so there would be somebody, whether it be an angel or a seraph, or, you know, or somebody who has clarity of what's happening in the world, they would look at you and be like, are you really violating Shabbos? That makes no sense, the same way that we would look at somebody who's bowing down to a molten image or to a cow. But because that wasn't one of the things that they killed, so then that's still part of the thing that doesn't make sense. So the question is, and again, we all know this is true. Again, I said there's no chidushim here. So what is it about the pornography, and what is it about the violations of Shemir Sinayim? What is it that doesn't make sense? Are we not allowed to pleasure seek? That's not true at all. If you read the Ramchal and Derech Hashem, the number one principle, and without this principle, you can't go forward, and there is no Judaism to that at all. The number one principle is God created us on this world only to be happy. Like, he only wanted us to give us joy. So let's say there's something that we're watching that gives us joy. So why wouldn't that be? You know, so why wouldn't that be okay? So of course there's a difference between the happy that he's describing and the pleasure seeking that we're describing. And of course this topic is so complex and we could barely do any justice to it in a half hour. What is it about the pornography that makes no sense? What is it about looking at these things that makes no sense? Anybody want to? For those who are listening on the recording, we're now going to open the floor. The only reason I'm not calling on anybody is because there's so many hands up. I just don't know who to choose. Yeah.
Well,
it causes issues. When?
Down the road.
Okay, so that's, you know, usually we try to build up and start with the things that are smaller and then work the things that are bigger. But that's the biggest one. And whether we like it or not, there are decisions that we make now of things that we do that are going to have an impact on other things, that when we reach that point in our life, we're going to wish to the bottom of our gut that we would have invested better. There are challenges that are going to come up down the road if we're involved in pornography. What are they? So again, there's so many that we could talk about. I think that the most simple one for us to understand, and again, I don't want to be controversial, we just don't have enough time. The most simple one for us to understand is what's going to happen when you get married. God willing, you'll all be married. You should say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You'll marry the best woman in the world for you.
Amen.
And when I was your age, nobody ever told me. Nobody ever informed me. I didn't know. I guess if I would have ever thought about it, I guess I would have figured it out. But it just wasn't really on my agenda so much. There are things that happen even when we're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Now we're 20, 21. There are things that happen that are going to impact the way that our lives are, the way that our lives are going to be. So there are many ways that you could look at this. The most simple way is, and again, you could poo-poo this and dismiss it if you want. You could also say that so many people are violating, so everybody's doing it, so I'll just be like everybody else. But is that really true? You know, if nobody's winning the lottery and I get a winning lottery ticket, so when am I going to be like, nobody's winning the lottery, so I'll just be like everybody else and I'll throw out my winning lottery ticket? Nobody does that. It doesn't matter really what everybody's doing. If there's a suggestion of something that can make your life better, so I would heed it. And I would guess that the same way, again, I'm just talking basics here, the same way that I would hope that in a relationship that we have that's real, not in a relationship that's superficial, and not in a relationship that is pleasure-seeking, in a relationship that is real, I would hope that that everybody would want, that the person that they're marrying would be at a place of exclusivity also. Meaning, I mean, I think they call it unused goods, but they would be in a place where that I would be, if this, you know, that work is important, and, you know, ball is important, and there's a lot of things that are important in life. The single most important thing in your life is going to be your family. So what's holding the foundation of your family? So if, you know, and again, I hope that we expect this. So if our wives are going to be pure, if our wives are going to be, you know, can you imagine, you know, you have, you know, you, okay, I can say this now, because when I got married, I looked a lot different than I do now. But you know, can you imagine if, like, you know, your wife's thinking, like, oh my gosh, I wish my husband looked like this, and I wish my husband had muscles like that, and I wish my husband, you know, it's not a comfortable place to be in. And if that's what we would expect from her, so is it fair that we're going to have images in our mind of things that are made, they're fake? It's a fake world that pornography comes from. You know, it's a, you know, that you know, we're going to have images in our mind that we planted in there because when we were young and immature, so we were pleasure seeking. So I now planted images in my mind of what the expectations of the most special thing that could ever happen in the whole world to me. So now I have images in the mind of the way that that's supposed to be, and in reality, it doesn't play out like that. So what happens then in marriage is not. Now that's not a good way to go. Lest you think that there's such a thing as forgetting, so there's tons of studies that are done. And I'm not even talking, you know, these are a little bit radical cases, but you guys, I don't have to prove this point, because you know that it's true, is that people who sometimes they go in for brain surgery, and when they come out of brain surgery, so like somebody's like, oh, I didn't know you knew Russian. And you know, the person's like, I don't know Russian, what are you talking about? They're like, I don't know, they're poking around in your brain over there, and you start talking Russian. So where did that come from? Because the best recording device that we have is our brain. We might not remember what our brain is holding because, you know, it might be somewhere in the back over there that's not in the recall zone. But everything that we see and everything that we experience then becomes part of our lives, never, ever to be gotten rid of. What does it mean that Hashem's going to play back the movie of our lives? There's no movie that He's going to flesh out. He's not videoing, you know, like while we're... He's not videoing us. There's no need for that. He's going to take out our mind and our memory. He's just going to plug that in. That's going to be the USB. He's going to plug our mind in, and that's just going to play back everything that we've done. Everything is in there. Some things come out always at the wrong moment. So there's no such thing as forgetting. It can't be that when I'm in 10th grade, so then I'll watch all these things just because that's what I enjoy and that's what gives me pleasure. And then one day when I get married, everything's going to be okay. That's not the way that it goes. So would anybody ever, in a real way, not like when we're all hanging out and we're trying to be like all bravado, in a real way, would anybody ever trade? You know, I hope that you'll get married at 23, 24, 25. Everybody in the right time. You'll get married then, and you'll live till 120. So that's 95 years. That's 95 years of building a life with somebody else. So can you imagine if, you know, I traded, you know, a couple of months or weeks or a year? I traded self pleasure, you know, on the gamble and on the risk of deteriorating the foundation that my marriage stands on. That's not a good. That's not a good investment. So in terms of point number one about why it's important is what does the future hold, and what kind of damage are we doing right now to things that we don't even realize. Number two is that for whatever reason, and again I would say that's the most important reason, but just something else that's worthwhile to mention. I don't fully understand why this works, but it is as obvious to anybody involved in this world as it could be. That if you want to be somebody who's holding in Torah, and you want to understand God, you want to have a relationship with God. So if we watch pornography, I'm not saying they watch pornography, you can't know Torah. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, you know, it's hard to speak in absolutes, because they'd be like, oh, what about this guy? What about this guy? It's not absolutes. But it's fairly obvious that there's something about the power of erva, there's something about the histoklus, about looking at things that are inappropriate, that puts up a wall against our ability to connect to our Kodesh Baruch. I'll offer a svara for why that is. I don't know for sure that this is true, but in general, things that are the most powerful. And I spoke to Rabbi Kamenetsky about this today, and he actually said the same. He actually had the same idea, is that the world works in balance. Is that the same thing that could be super good? It's like the home run hitter, the guy who's going to swing for the fences. So he might strike out a lot, but then he's also going to hit a lot of home runs. You can decide whether that's worth it or not. The one who plays it safe and is hitting singles. So then instead of shooting for extremes, he's like down here. So then maybe he'll get an out, maybe he'll get a single, but there's not going to be so much productivity. Now, if you want to swing for the fences, so then the risks are also much greater. The world works like a pendulum. The further that we pull one way, so the further it ends up going the other way. The most godly thing that we could do, period. The most godly thing that we could do is to create another human being. The most godly thing we could do is to create another human being. That's what makes us the most like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if we want to, or if we're going to, use that same koach in violation, so then the damage to our neshama is that much greater. Okay. On the one hand, we have, practically speaking, what's going to happen to our marriage. That's, again, you can think about that. But if you want to talk about metaphysical for a second, if you want to talk about neshamas, so the very thing that's going to make us the most like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is nothing in the planet that would be better than for us to be godly. So the very thing that makes us the most godly is also the very thing that's going to drag us down the furthest if we use it improperly. If we use it improperly, so then there has to be a barrier. Whoa, whoa, you're doing a godly thing in a misguided way, in a dysfunctional way. Okay, time out. So that's, again, another reason why it could be why it's important to invest in controlling ourselves. I'll add, as if we need further proof that if we look at, there are certain, by the way, if you need the proof to the point, so we see this also the previous point, we see this also by Bris Milah. So Bris Milah is there because Hashem says, I want to have a chosim on a person. I want to have a seal. I want to be sealed that every man walks around knowing that they're an Eved Hashem. Where's the place that we put this, seal of Eved Hashem? We put it in that place because that's the place that has the ability to make us most godly. Of course, that's the place that also has the ability to make us the most ungodly, but also has the ability to make us the most godly. Okay. Rabbi Josh Shulman told me today in the name of Rav Avram Shor. He said that another way that we can see that this is really critical is that if we consider the body for a second and we look at what are the things that are the most sensitive. Like if we would get hit in certain places, so where are the things that are the most sensitive? So we know, obviously, there's sensitive. But what about our eyes? How sensitive are our eyes? Right, I would say probably the most. I would guess that eyes are the most sensitive. So the same way that if a piece of dust would get into our eye, we would sit there the entire day like this, and with irritation and with nagging. So it might be that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the body like that is because he's trying to send us a message. What we get out of the physical world is sending us a message about what's happening with our neshama also. Is that if we see something that we're not supposed to see, so we don't flinch like that. But maybe we should recognize, wait a second, maybe what's happening with my eyes, maybe it's more sensitive than I'm giving it credit for. Maybe there's something else there that I should consider. That what's happening, that the things that I allow into my being through my eyes, maybe I should be a little bit more careful, because maybe without realizing it, there's bad things that are happening. For those who were here last year, I spoke about what's happening with my arteries. Is that the doctor said that I have to that I can't eat fatty things. I happen to actually now be doing pretty good, because when I walked on campus, I remembered that I promised I'd be skinny by the time the summer came around. All right, it didn't work out, but I'll still keep on trying. Is that, it's like, what happens if I go have a late night, burgers bar? I pound a 450. You know what a 450 is? Right, there's like 150, that's like for like, the regular guys, that one, one burger. Then there's like the 300 for like, like the fake machos who think they're, then you got the 450 for the real men, okay? So, if I would go have a 450, it's not on the menu, by the way, you just got to know, order off the menu. So if I got a 450, so by the time I finished it, I'm going to feel pretty good about myself. Right, I'd be like, wow, that was a good meal, I'm really satisfied, I feel really good. And, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to die. But does anybody doubt for a second that the grease and the red meat, that what I just did, was probably pretty damaging to what's going to happen to... I don't see it and I don't feel it. I'm not going to... we don't get lightning struck on us every time we do something wrong. But nobody challenges anymore that something bad's happening in my arteries. So the same way that when something's going into our eyes, so I might not blink the same way that it's a piece of dust. But maybe I'm paying attention to that piece of dust, because maybe just because I'm not blinking, because it's not dust, it doesn't mean that I'm not doing something, some serious damage to what it is. And as we know in Hebrew, anytime you add a vav and a nun to the end of a word, so it means a smaller version of. Like if you have a small kitchen, so they call that, a kitchen is a mitbach, and a small kitchen is a mitbachon, or a misradon is a small office. Or so the pupil of an eye is called in Hebrew. Ishon, right? So what's an ishon? Right, ish vav nun. It's a small person. So it's called an ishon because if you ever look at somebody else's eyes, you always realize that you're a smaller version of yourself and a reflection in their eyes. But there's something about our eyes that's ishon. There's something about it that defines the total humanity of who we are. And what we're putting into our eyes, so then that goes a long way into laying down what we are all about. So it's not simple. It's very, very challenging. I would argue that if you consider what it is that we're actually trying to look at, the Gemara writes that... Again, we're being recorded, so I won't quote the Gemara. It's going to be mistaken out of context. But what is it that we're trying to, which part of the woman that we're trying to look at, when it comes to these kinds of things? If you really thought about it, does it really make sense that we're attracted to something like that? Those parts of the bodies are not really, not such attractive things are happening out of those parts of bodies. But yet there's some kind of drive that's what we want to. That's what we want to look at. It doesn't make sense. That's the fog. That's the fog of the Yitzhara. Not a simple battle, but that battle all has to do with self-pleasure. If we're living our lives about, I want to pleasure myself, we're going to run into trouble. We run into trouble long-term, we're going to run into trouble short-term, we're going to run into trouble with our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But if we're able to have discipline, and we're able to control ourselves, it's not easy. Not an easy battle, but we're able to, especially because everybody's doing it, especially because the world is doing it. But if we're able to control ourselves, so then there is short-term, long-term, and infinite benefit. Yerusalem of Avinu Shemashemayim, should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, that He gives us the strength to be able to make decisions with our lives, to do things that are meaningful and real, and not to be focused on short-term and pleasure-seeking. And this way we can live out to have the best lives we could possibly have.